text, Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj leaves home, text 56. Labdhva dravya mayim vacham
Labdhva dravya mayim vacham
Sityam bhavadi sudha Sityam bhavadi sudha. Doesn't work, huh? Let me just check. Yeah, it's a little difficult. Sityam bhava. No, anyway, I'm just trying. Sityam Bhava Disuvarchaye Abhritatma Munisanto Yata Vannitta Vanyabho Labdhva Dravya Mayim Macham Sityam Vadi Suvarchaye Abhritatma Munishanto Yatavam Mitta Vanyabho Labdhva Dravya Mayim Macham Sityam Vadi Suvarchaye Abhritatma Munishanto Yatavam Mitta Vanyabho. Labdhva, by getting. Dravya mayim, made of physical elements. Archam, worshipable deity. Kshiti, earth. Ambu, water. Adisu, beginning with. Va, or. Archaya. Worship. Abhritatma. One who is fully self-controlled. Thank you. A great personality. Santa, peacefully. Yatavak, controlling the force of talking. Mita, frugal. Panyabu, eating whatever is available in the forest. Translation. It is possible to work a form, to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood, and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. Purport. It is essential for a devotee to worship the form of the Lord and not only meditate upon the form of the Lord within his mind with the chanting of the mantra given by the spiritual master. The worship of the form must be present. The impersonalist takes unnecessary trouble to meditate upon or worship something impersonal, and the path is very precarious. We are not advised to follow the impersonalist way of meditating on or worshipping the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to worship a form made of earth and water because in the jungle, it is not possible to have a form made of metal, wood, or stone. The best process is to take earth mixed with water and make a form of the Lord and worship him. The devotee should not be anxious about cooking food. Whatever is available in the forest or in the city among the fruits and vegetable groups should be offered to the deity, and the devotee should be satisfied eating them. He should not be anxious to have very palatable dishes. Of course, whatever is possible, one should offer the deity the best foodstuffs prepared within the category of fruits and vegetables, cooked or uncooked. The important factor is that the devotee should be regulated. Mitta book. That is one of the good qualifications of a devotee. He should not hanker to satisfy the tongue with a particular kind of foodstuff. He should be satisfied to eat whatever prasad is available by the grace of the Lord. was reading about Lokanath Goswami. And it said that Lokanath Goswami was a great personality, a contemporary of the six Goswamis. He was a little older. And Lokanath Goswami was very humble, and therefore he did not want his name mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So therefore, there's relatively little known about Lokanath Goswami, other than that he was the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur. And also it is known that he was worshipping the deity of Radha Vinoj. And these deities are not so big, like small-sized deities. And it is said that these days Radha Vinoj are being worshipped in Jaipur. One can still have the darshan of them. Now, the story goes that one day when Lokanath Goswami was in the forest, that he had a desire to worship the Supreme Lord in a personal form. So it is said that then, before him, appeared a young boy, and that young boy gave him deities, deities of Radha Vinod. And he was somewhat confused. From where are these deities coming? I mean, who is giving me deities here? And then there's no one in this forest. How can someone just appear and give me deities? It all went so fast. Before he knew it, he was there alone with the deities. But then Krishna basically manifested to him that, like, yes, it was me, personally. I manifested myself to you. It's all by my arrangement that this is going on, that you are getting these deities here in the forest. And then Lokanath Goswami, with great pleasure, accepted those deities and immediately wanted to cook for them. And after that, he put the deities to rest and he just simply collected some flowers and he made a bed of flowers. And he put the deities on the bed of flowers. And in this way, right there in the jungle, he worshipped the deities very nicely. So, this, and then he used to carry those deities in a cloth around his neck, and he would just worship them in a regulated way. He would not fail to worship them nicely. So, it is said worshipping the deity in the mind is not sufficient. Because in this age of Kali, in the mind, we might not fully apply ourselves. In the mind, it is easier to skip some of the prescribed activity. But when the deity is actually present in a form, then we are more serious. And then we will follow all the prescribed rules and regulations more nicely. Simply because we are collectively worshipping the deity. When we worship the deity in our mind, we worship the deity alone. And nobody will see how we are worshipping the deity in our minds. But if we worship the deity in the form, then we are worshipping collectively. And there's a standard, and people are watching what we're doing and what we're not doing, and so on. And there's that social pressure. Sometimes it feels difficult to deal with that social pressure of the that exists within the community of the devotees. But if we, and our mind becomes agitated, being the recipient of that pressure. But if we look back in hindsight, then we see that that social pressure actually was a great blessing, because somehow or other, it pushed us along on the spiritual path and refined our surrender. And alone, we would have never done it and never made it, and so on. So, therefore, worshipping the deities in the association of the devotees, especially, is very powerful and is important. The worship of the deities it follows a prescribed process. There is no room for any speculation. Everything must be done just proper, and anything where one gets too individual, without any scriptural basis is simply utpatiyaiva kalpate. It is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. Actually, whatever we do, it must be based on scripture. Because when we act according to the injunction of the scripture, then we are acting according to the desire of the Supreme Lord. And then we are protected, and it is said then everything we do becomes auspicious, favorable. So in this way, we are worshipping the deity in a practical manner with the material energy. This is very advantageous because in this age we are engrossed in the material energy. Our senses are deeply conditioned by the material energy, and that it's not so simple to just withdraw the senses. Therefore, to engage those very senses in the service of the Supreme Lord in this deity form is what will purify us. Therefore, again, meditation is not our process. Deity worship is more important. That does not mean that there is no meditation for a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas, they must meditate. They must be constantly remembering. Meditation basically means remembering. Remembering. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So remembering is one of the ninefold processes of devotional service, and the idea is that we constantly remember. Smartavyam satatam vishno vismartavyo na jatu sit sarvaviri nisedushu reitriyori vakinkaram. The purpose of all these regulated activities that we are performing in relation to the deity is to come to the point of remembering Krishna. That's essential, that we remember him all the time. So we must make arrangements for remembering Krishna. But merely remembering Krishna, we must remember him and subsequently desire to serve him. Remembrance must translate into service. Therefore, sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam. After smaranam comes padasevanam, comes the service of the Lord. And then, after we get that mood of serving the lotus feet of the Lord, of becoming the surrendered servers of the Lord, and manmana bhava matpaktu, to bow down to the lotus feet of the Lord, then comes archanam. Because archanam is the practical way of how one actually can spend his day in bowing down to the lotus feet of the Lord. It is very clear and very sure. Sometimes, if we are engaged in other activities, it may be confusing. Is this devotional service or not? But with deity worship, there is no question. Everything is very clear. And as long as we do it exactly as it is prescribed, then without fail, the results will be there. So in that way, it is very nice, because it takes us immediately off the mental platform, the platform of confusion. So, therefore, although the process for this age is the chanting of the holy name, the worship of the deity saves us from impersonalism, and it trains us to actually serve the Supreme Lord in person. This is required. The impersonalist is very self-centered. The impersonalist is considered to be involved in satisfying his own senses. Mukti, bukti, siddhi, kami. The mukti, the one who is looking for liberation, the impersonalist. The bukti, the one who is trying to enjoy the material energy. Or the siddhi, the yoga, yogi, who is trying to get mystic power. All are known as kamis. All are known as those who offer sense gratification. Mukti bhukti siddhikami sakala ashanti. They will all be not peaceful. There's no question of ever being peaceful. That is not possible. So we're seeing that these non-devotees will always be agitated because sense gratification is their aim. But a devotee is only interested in pleasing the senses of the Supreme Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. And therefore a devotee can become a servant. He can give up any desire to have a position in this world. Sarva Bhadi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. He becomes free from all designation in this world. Nirupadi. This is very important, to become Nirupadi. Nirupadi, to become free from any material designation, should be our meditation. It should be something that we regularly are remembering. It is one of the fundamental aspects of Krishna consciousness. There are many parts in our philosophy that are relevant, but some are so relevant that they should be in the forefront. And this concept of being Nirupadi should be in the forefront of our thinking. It should be, we should remind ourselves many times a day, Sarvabhadi Vinir Muktam, I should simply give up all desire for designation. And we will catch our mind many times looking for this designation. So what can we say? To be a humble servant. Time and time again it is stressed that without humility there is no question of love of God. It is not possible. Without humility Krishna prema cannot be attained. And it is said that even if one comes to the Madhyam Adhikari platform, that the desire for pratistha or hankering for recognition, that can bring one down again to the Kanishtha platform. Once again, it can destroy one's firm faith. Madhyam Adhikari has strong faith in the scriptures, strong faith in Krishna, he is deeply absorbed in devotional service. His interest is actually the service of the Lord and not anything else in this world. But he can become distracted from that if he is becoming attached to glorification, pratistha. It can destroy the Madhyam Adhikari's advancement and bring him back once again to the Kanishtha Adhikari platform. And I found in Jiva Dharma chapter 8 an interesting description of the Kanishtha Madhyam Uta Adhikari with many intricate details, and there Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes this point also. So we must be conscious that we are performing our devotional service in the right frame of mind. In the beginning, we are simply making a connection with the process, sambandha. And in the beginning, sambandha jnana, to make that connection with the process, is the essence. But then abhideya becomes the process, or the essence. Abhideya, the process of purification, which we are following, that becomes our focus. How to perform this process better? And that is actually required. How we are fine-tuning our devotional service. And Krishna makes arrangements for us to surrender. Krishna makes more and more arrangements for us to improve the quality of our service. And Krishna makes arrangement for us to become Trinadapi Sunichena, to become more humble than a blade of grass, to become more tolerant than a tree. Krishna, if we don't become voluntarily, then Krishna will make us. somehow or other, he will make arrangements in our life where we will become. So the whole, it is the inevitable change. If we speak about a transformation that has to be brought about, or a change of heart in this process of Krishna consciousness, then it is from being proud and in the enjoying mood to come to humility, being humble in the service mood. These are the essential elements of spiritual life: humility and service attitude. And we must improve our service in many ways. And that service must be seen in the context of this era. And in this era, everything is focused around Harinam Sankirtan. That is the Yuga Dharma. So therefore, our service must always be seen in the context of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ultimately his desire. Therefore, that's what we see in Srila Prabhupada. He perfectly embodied that in his preaching spirit, which he maintained, which was exactly the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One devotee in Australia, an old Prabhupada disciple, I recently met him, and he is now studying in a university for his PhD in sociology, and he is writing his thesis on Krishna consciousness. And his thesis is that, according to certain literatures that are existing within the sociological field about new religious movements, just to consider that we are in one sense a new religious movement, in the sense new in the West, not new in India, but new in the West. So he was, it said that they made two distinctions, that they follow two models. One is they follow a militaristic model, and the other one is they go for pacification. So he said, like, well, ISKCON clearly followed the militaristic model, and of course, and he said then later some changes came, and a large group of devotees started to go for the pacification model, the model of trying to have a peaceful life in this world, a nice, peaceful, religious, spiritual life. And that is a fact. And, that's like, there used to be a song of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, which I used to hate. I used to hate it, that song. And it was like, my house is a very, very fine house with two kids in the yard, and so many things like that, and I hated it all throughout my life. It was for me the emblem of like entanglement, as if it was like the home with the geranium in front of the window, which gave me shivers up my spine. Anything but that, lace. With little lace curtains, from little Brussels lace curtains and a geranium in the middle. I always hated that, because it was the emblem of the boring life. So somehow or other they were glorifying the house in such a way that it reminded me of that particular lifestyle. And we see that in the pacification phase, that's exactly what devotees want. They want like that, a nice house with a nice geranium and nice lace curtains. And they want like a nice Krishna conscious cat, and like in a dog, also vegetarian. Yes, he's vegetarian. And so on. And then it becomes, and then, you know, the kids are accepted in the Boy Scouts. Kija. How nice. Right? What ecstasy. Okay? So this is definitely the pacification phase. So this devotee is writing his thesis, and he is he's asking me for some feedback, and I wrote him a letter, and I was thinking that, well, the military model certainly didn't start with Srila Prabhupada. The military model is found right there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was referring to different generals. He said, like, Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, they were two Senapati Bhaktas. They were powerful generals. Right? And it said, and soldiers, like Srivas. Srivas was listed as a soldier. So like this, we see many, many times that the military model is coming up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It describes that these generals and soldiers had as their weapons Harinam. They had Harinam Sankirtan and Krishna Prasada. So we know these type of terminology of battle, the war with Maya, and so on. There are many militaristic concepts in the philosophy of our movement, not in the social form, but very much in the philosophy and in the way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced his movement. And Srila Prabhupada also kind of organized it like that. After all, he instituted the concept of a temple commander, which also had a very military flavor. So Prabhupada organized his movement in a military sense, on the basis of Lord Chaitanya's military model, and then subsequently it went to America and got a bit more cowboy flavor, which is natural, and we've had that for some time. And then we see the pacification model, looking for the nice and peaceful way of life. The latter is okay. It is not forbidden to be Krishna conscious and peaceful. It's not against the regulative principles. Right? It's not that it's against the scripture. It's not, you cannot really say that it's not bona fide. Right? It's bona fide to go for that peaceful, happy home. But I must say that I hate it. I've always hated it. Right? Because the adventurous spirit is gone. Right? It's totally... Where's the excitement of new boundaries, new frontiers? Where is the excitement of seeing how the Supreme Lord is going to reciprocate? It is all based on security. So the spirit, the adventurous spirit, to bring Krishna consciousness all over the planet, all over the world, in some way or another, is much more attractive to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is that spirit which can capture the Lord. And therefore, that we should not forget. Of course, in previous days in our society, the peaceful model was not at all part of it. It was only preaching. And peace was looked upon as Maya. Comfort was looked upon as sense gratification. A warm shower was considered to be sex life. Yeah. That's what it was. Literally, right? Sex life. Nothing, no less. Right? So, there was no consideration of the bones and of the joints and all these things. Right? cold, icy cold, which caused, and that spirit of just not considering anything, it caused health breakdowns in some people of a severe nature. So therefore there is room also for the pacification model. But what to do? If that's all there is, right, then yeah, some of us will just walk around and say, is that all there is? And we'll just come to rock the boat. Because Srila Prabhupada really came in a different spirit, and Srila Prabhupada displayed a different spirit. And how can we ever overlook that? How can we ever forget what he did? How can we ever forget that he ignored his old age to a point that it was inconceivable? Prabhupada pointed out sometimes that I'm an old man, right? And you don't know what it's like. And all the physical defects that he had, yeah, but it did not in any way block him from continuing his devotional service. And this kind of adventurous spirit, right, is the spirit that we require. So worshipping the deity is wonderful, because it gives us immediately a connection with Krishna in a very stable environment. Everything is in the mode of goodness, supposed to be. And if it's not, then something is wrong. But basically, there's so much sattva gun immediately. So much. So it's very peaceful and so on. But if we are simply just worshipping our deities, then I can't help but to quote Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering from 1962, where he said, just ringing bells. They're in the temples, just ringing bells. Of course, at the end of his life, Srila Prabhupada asked forgiveness to all his god brothers and said, sometimes I spoke very harsh words, and I guess this just ringing bells is in that category. He said, you please forgive me. I simply did so to push on the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have no intention to minimize or criticize the service of any Vaishnava. And that was a fact. So I also, when I kind of quote this ringing bells from Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering from 1962, I want to put it in that context. I do not mean to criticize any pujari who is doing puja and who is deeply absorbed in that puja. I know very well that these pujaris are dear to Krishna, and I do remember the Odan Shasti, or that particular day in the at the end of the year, where Lord Jagannath is receiving new cloth, and how Pundarik Vijayanidhi came and saw how the pujari was offering starch cloth, how he didn't wash it first. You know, in India, when you get the cloth, it's full of starch, and then you have to wash it and so on to get the starch off. So it said new cloth should always be washed first before one can wear it. That is the proper standard. One should not wear it straight out of the shop. The first must be washed. I admit I don't always follow that rule, you know, for practical reasons, but you just run out of cloth and desperately grab the new stuff, for example. But whatever may be. So he saw that brain meeting, or Pundarik Vijayanidhi, and he became very upset that the pujari was offering starched cloth. But that night in his dream, Lord Jagannath came and slapped him in the face, very much, very hard, criticizing the pujari. And when he woke up, his cheeks were swollen and glowing from the hitting of Lord Jagannath, for criticizing the pujari. So we do not wish to minimize or criticize any pujari in the service, not at all. But still, if the pujari can develop a teaching spirit, that is a glorious pujari. That pujari who can make his deity worship so wonderful that people will come from far to see the deities. Oh, he's the best pujari. In Mayapur, we have wonderful pujaris, and this year, at the end of the year, there was a very nice day on the final day of Kartik, the Ras Purnima. We have then Bhismak Panchika, the five last days of Kartik. And it said in those days that if you take a vow in those days and you follow it very strictly, then you can make up for everything you didn't, for the vrat you didn't do, right, for the rest of Kartik. But you know, you do that, then you get the full benefit. And you can get great benefit for whatever you do. And then it ends with the Ras Purnima. So the Bengalis, they know very well about this. So they come with huge throngs of people to Mayapur to just see, to get the darshan. And then the pujaris, they built this on the stage. We know that in Mayapur the deities of Radha Madhava are very high, and there's a big stage in front of the deity. And they had dolls made of Radha and Krishna. And they made this whole Ras Lila there. Right? They had all, had many Krishnas and gopis, like two gopis and a Krishna in between. And many, many, many. And these dolls, quite big actually. Maybe two-thirds of a real person, so quite big, on the stage. And very, very beautifully done. And it was really invoking, and with many flowers and so on, and branches. And it was very much invoking the transcendental mood of the spiritual world. And many people came to see, and many people were staying for a long time for that special darshan. So that's the kind of spirit to not only worship the deity in a regulated way, but to also make amazing festivals for the deity, and to celebrate these festivals in such an attractive way that somehow or other people cannot stop to talk about it, think about it, and they're in great excitement waiting for the next festival. And they'll come. So in this way, a pujari can bring many people to the temple without ever going out. He doesn't need to go out. He can just stay indoors. Right? No need for the pujari to go out. He can just stay in the temple with the deities. But by organizing amazing festivals for the deities, he'll spread the fame of the temple so much that people will come from far. And in Vrindavan, we see that many pujaris have developed this spirit very expertly. And they were in this mood of collecting many items, like the swing of Banki Bihari. Everybody knows the swing of Banki Bihari. And you can see it only twice in a year. Two nights you can see the swing of Banki Bihari. It's 13 meters wide, all of gold and silver. The swing of Banki Bihari. 30 So it's very big. You can go and see the swing of Banki Bihari. Of course, you will not be alone. There will be a huge, huge crowd of people to see that swing. So this temple has had this festival since so many years. I don't know how many years. It's a very old thing. And they assemble the whole thing and break it down in pieces throughout the year, and they build it up once a year, and then it sort of swings very slowly all the way across the temple, across the whole width of the temple. So one can see this. Yeah, one can go and see this in Banki Bihari temple. And it's an example of how they create special festivals. So we can also and some temples are great. That temple is gotten great fame for that, and we can also do this kind of of extraordinary service.
So whatever we do,
it must be touched with the preaching spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be complete, to fully attract the mercy which will lift us to the platform of Krishna Prema, because we are not so perfect in our worship that we will make it to Krishna. Okay, I'll stop now. Any questions? I promise to stop at 9:15. 5 minutes. Cutting off a little abruptly, I know.
It's about settling down and living in the house. It's very much like a kind of different way of different path too.
A different what?
Better
field.
Battlefield.
Yeah, battlefield.
It's like a different battlefield. It's like when you go out and out with preaching, it's a kind of one kind of
battlefield. Battle, yes.
But when you stay in, there is a kind of
battle at home also.
Yes, in, like inside it's definitely.
Sure. And that's true. But, you know, you should share that house. You should somehow or another make your house a holy place, and you should bring many people to your house. Again and again. For prasadam and for Krishna conscious activity. Then your battle will be successful. But if we're just alone in our house with that inner battle, we'll be battling for the rest of our life. You see, that battle can go on for a lifetime. But if we really want to get beyond it, then we have to preach. In some way or other, we have to do something to share the mercy. That's the point. We don't have to all be like Jehovah's Witnesses and go door to door and put our foot between the door and put a book around the corner. There are different ways to preach. But we should do something to distribute Krishna consciousness if we want to get beyond this battle. Otherwise, we're going to battle for the rest of our lives. Anybody?
I have a question about the type of classes. The first one said, the spring of the devotees who have dedicated their lives to the gate of the world and the world.
Yeah.
It says dedicated.
Yeah, the devotees who've dedicated their lives to the preaching of the glories of the Lord are the devotees who have decided, I'm going to give my life to Krishna, to devotional service. They are not ordinary people. So, okay, and that's us here. And, you know, it's easy when you read it there on the paper, not to blaspheme the devotees. Yeah. But when you actually sit in a group of people, then you see, well, this one is too much, that one is not enough, this one's too tall, that one's too short, and this one, you know, is too fat. And in that way, one sees the shortcomings. Then it becomes more difficult. So it means that we have to look at people and see that they are dedicated in their to Krishna, and therefore we will never speak of their shortcomings. We will just speak of their good qualities. That's what it means. And if we practice that, then we very quickly become advanced in devotional service. But if we find faults, then we will spoil our devotional service. We don't dedicate it. You know, we don't get paid. Yeah. Rising so early in the winter, and it's nice under the blankets. Yeah. Dedicate.
coming from outside on a bicycle. Look at his eyes, it's snow. Yeah, and they're coming early in the morning on a bicycle.
This water, whatever is available,
yeah,
for us, and then directly to live on that.
Yeah.
So I think, like Prabhupada also says, you have to offer whatever is available, whatever is in the month, as you want to go and go for a month.
Yeah. Yep,
your sister. And then also, the body should live on what the opportunity is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to take all the silly stuff and eat yourself all kinds of movies.
Sure, yeah.
And so it's all these different variations.
Yeah.
You really can offer huge peace to the week and participate in that. So, nice to awkward night, but to eat two opportunities. Also, I'm talking about the simple brahmacharya.
First of all, it says yakya sista sanu sante muchante sabakirvisaya. One should only eat yakya sista, remnants of sacrifice, whatever is offered to the deity, and nothing beyond that. So there's no such thing as like, you can eat mushrooms, but you can't offer them to the deity. So then we just offer them to a picture of Prabhupada, kind of thing. Certain things, you know, pasta, you can't offer it to the deity, but you can offer it to Prabhupada, kind of. So the double standard I'm talking about. Right? I'm now not talking whether you can offer pasta or not, that's like another question again. But I'm just talking about double standard. Some things you offer to the deity and some things only to a picture of Prabhupada. No. Only really what we can offer to the deity. Well, Prabhupada, in our movement, established that deities should be worshipped with sumptuous prasadam, because we are not living in the forest, we are living in all opulence, and deities require sumptuous prasadam, and then the devotees can take the sumptuous remnants, and they also require that. Because the senses are very hard to control, and the sarira vijajao, we need this sense to help us, to save us from the senses. Otherwise, we will not be able to make it. So, too much austerity in prasadam is, generally speaking, very difficult for new devotees. And it's like three chickpeas and so on. Right? These things were not possible to maintain. And Prabhupada used to encourage devotees to really take prasadam. There were feasts, and there were also regular offerings, everyday offerings. And the everyday offerings were not totally opulent. They were simple and healthy. So sometimes we really, nowadays, eat too opulent all the time. And so many diseases can also come from that. So one must, halva, puri, and sabji, and cheese sabji are considered to be feast preparations. In Prabhupada's letters we see like that. Not everyday foodstuffs. So in this way we must find a balance. But in the beginning one needs to take shelter of these things more. And we all need to take shelter of prasadam. Right? Prasadam is our saving grace. Right? And this goes on till the very for the rest of our life, right? We need nice prasadam. If there's no nice prasadam, you know, like, I don't know if we're going to last. Right? This prasadam gives us the strength to accept so many other austerities, as long as there's nice prasadam. So we should not make the prasadam too austere, even in the name of health. Right? To go on like a murderous diet in the name of health may be good for the body, but it may not be good for our spiritual health. So sumptuous prasadam is our motto, is Lord Chaitanya's movement, and should be there. But prasadam means that which is offered to the deities. It must have that standard of purity and so on. So that's what we are after. Otherwise, snacking from the shop, it will simply increase our lusty desires. That's the thing. You can offer it, but it's still low class. It doesn't, and
the consciousness of the cook is still in there, and one can still get all kinds of lusty desires. So actually we'll get difficulties with the regulative principles. You feel the pressure. So better we just stick to high quality prasad. It will help us to follow the four regulative principles. It will make us spiritually advanced. So I promised that I would stop at 8:45 and I didn't entirely make it. It wasn't my fault, it was your fault. So I'll stop now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.